Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast, another episode where we get to share, talk, discuss things that are going on here in our church, in our local community, as well as just things pertinent to our everyday life, discipleship, our faith walk. Wow, we get to cover it all. Pastor Dan, how you doing?
I'm good. Good.
Awesome.
Good.
My name is Antonio. And again, what a privilege it is to be with you all. Like, subscribe, share, tell somebody, write a comment, ask some questions. We always love the feedback. We love seeing it. People at the door and getting encouragement. I haven't had much discouragement. I don't know. That's right.
People, I don't think I've had anybody say, I hate the like podcast. Yeah. And you guys need to stop right now.
And maybe they wouldn't. So, well, shout out to you guys for doing that.
Hopefully you keep that stuff to yourself.
Yeah, for real. What is that? I'll file that under T.
T. Trash. Yep.
But again, welcome. Today, well, Pastor Dan.
Yes.
We didn't get to chat. We had a couple different episodes with Pastor Teresa. We answered some questions.
Fun stuff. Yeah, that was great.
I pray that, you know, if you had a question, it got answered, and maybe you didn't even know you had a question, but you had some curiosity.
Might have brought up some new questions. Yeah. Please post those and let us know.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. But we are post-Thanksgiving. What was your Thanksgiving like, Pastor?
You know what? It was great. It was quiet. It was peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Jess doesn't like quiet. She wants loud and boisterous and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll say this, because after Pastor Jim went to be with Jesus, the family was just so in grief. They didn't want to look at a Thanksgiving table. Yeah. They didn't want to think about spaghetti, which I know most of you guys are going, wait, you mean turkey? No, I mean spaghetti. Because Pastor Jim, being Italian, he was half.
Yeah.
And every year, Thanksgiving was turkey and spaghetti. And so they didn't want to think about any of that. And so we ended up at Disneyland a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a nice distraction, I'll say that. And honestly, Disneyland at Thanksgiving puts on one of the best turkey dinners.
Oh, wow.
At that little cafe right at the end of Main Street.
Okay, yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Right there, I think it's Carnation Cafe or something. Like,
The lights and all that one.
And I'm not getting paid for this. You know what I mean? Like, I wish Disney would pay me if you want to kick me down, you know, 10% goes towards Love Rock Ministries International.
Yeah.
But anyways, no, I mean, they put on a great plate of food Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I saw one of our choir members there. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. They were like, hey, on Thanksgiving Day, you're here too. Wow. But no, it was great. So this year, though, I told Jessica, I said, listen, I know you're dreading this. Mm-hmm. I want to be around a table. Yeah. I want to cook a turkey.
Yeah.
You know, I'll smoke it on the barbecue. I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Which no one liked my smoked turkey a couple years ago. I was so mad. And Pastor Jim, he was alive for that smoked turkey, and he made a joke. He said, Dan smoked the turkey, and we all got lung cancer. And so, you know, but I liked it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
flavorful,
yeah,
very
okay.
good. But I like that smoky
like
flavor.
Yeah, okay.
Some people don't.
Yeah.
So I'm writing my breaking tree letters and smoking the turkey for myself, you know. But so I told Jessica, I said, I want turkey. I want the table. Mm-hmm. I know it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, if you really can't do it, I get it. But this is what I'd like to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So we ended up having family over. I think there was a total of like 11 of us.
Oh, cool.
And so smaller group, but still, I mean, it was great. And, you know, all the cousins and everything hung out, watched the football games, talked.
Right.
All that. My daughter made some pies, homemade pies, which was great. And then we had some store-bought ones as well. Way too much pie. Way too much food, you know.
Well, you guys are pie over cake family anyways,
Jessica
right?
is. Yeah. I mean, truth be told, I like, you know, I do like a German chocolate cake. It's very hard to get one that's really quality.
Does Chloe bake those?
She bakes everything.
Okay. I know she's always been a baker.
She is absolutely amazing with that stuff. She could just get a recipe online or whatever and just go for it. And she's just phenomenal at turning stuff out. I'm like, how did you do that? She's like, well, I had a recipe, you know, but she gets it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just following that whole thing. And so, she's amazing. So she made a pecan pie this year, and instead of using corn syrup, she used, what is it? Date syrup. So baking tip for all of our bakers.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a nice substitution.
Yeah.
It doesn't take away from the flavor.
Yeah.
I thought it actually complemented the pecan.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like the whole tree thing,
okay.
you know,
yeah.
fig and
that makes sense.
Not fig, date.
Yeah, the date, yeah.
It was wonderful.
I've heard of date shake, so there's some sweetness there, right?
Yes, there's a place out by Cabazon.
Yes, I've heard of. I've never tried it, but I've heard it's really good.
You and Pastor Brian need to go. He likes that stuff.
Okay,
so.
I'm
whoever else wants to go. You guys, you can just invite on the podcast.
Let's go.
Let's
forget
go.
The name of the place. Like
Hadley's?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it was H. I was going to call it Harkins, but that's the
again, if you want to kick back, Hadley's.
Sponsorship. Giving Tuesday.
I'm like sponsored by GNO here. I got the Jesus Equals Peace from 2023 mug in my hand. And so ladies, be looking out for.
By the time you're watching this, it's tomorrow night.
Girls night.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing. So
it
make
might
sure
be sold out though. So
it could be sold out. It's getting close as of the time of this recording. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's good stuff. Ladies are gonna have a fun time. So yeah, we did all that. And cool. Then well, you know what was kinda cool was Jessica afterwards made, because we heard about one of our members, they take all their Thanksgiving leftovers and they make a shepherd's pie out of it. I was like, that is brilliant.
Yeah. So like the veggies and the potatoes and all that.
Yes, because you think about it, it's just basically you get your gravy, you get your meat, put some veggies in there, and then you top it with the mashed potatoes. I was like, why have I never seen this before? It's almost like Mexican food. You can make like 50 different dishes with the same ingredients, right?
No,
you
know, that makes sense.
I'm like, we can do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
With Thanksgiving, you know, shepherd's pie.
Yeah,
It was great.
Very good. I you know, I always have an appreciation for leftovers.
Yeah.
Like Thanksgiving leftovers really hits.
Oh, that Thanksgiving turkey sandwich
yeah.
where you're spreading mashed potatoes on the toast and stuff. Yeah. I mean, just, yeah.
The next morning I had a roll, the smoked ham fried up with an egg and a roll sandwich.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah, it was good. And cheese. It was good. Anyways, before we get hungry again. Also, Pastor, you've been out of town. There was a couple weeks ago, a Sunday. You had a weekend of different opportunities to minister outside. What were those like?
A lot of fun, actually. Cool. I don't go out a lot. I don't travel a lot. I have been invited most of the time. To those invitations, I tell them just, you know, send a formal invite to the church and I get nothing, so I don't go. But, you know, these guys actually invited me, and it was wonderful to be able to be with some believers in different contexts. One was at a men's conference here in San Bernardino, local church that we pray for every week, Ecclesia, with Dr.
Shout
Josh Beckley.
Again.
And
no kickback needed.
No, they're good, man. They're family. But Dr. Josh has been at the National Day of Prayer with us and his team and everybody. I mean, just absolutely so fun to, and I love being with the men, you know what I mean? We can have fun, we can talk about things that we don't talk about in mixed company, but we had a good time, and it's just neat to be with those guys, and some local pastors were there as well, so always good being with the family there. And so that was here in San Bernardino, and then I was able to go out to Yorba Linda to Church of Grace, Pastor Josh, and I mean, just I've gone to that church for years, because before that was Dr. Tom Barkey and his wife Suzette were there, and so they've transitioned the church leadership, and just a blessing to see where Pastor Josh and his wife are taking the ministry.
Awesome.
They're doing some great things. They've got great hearts. I believe that church is getting ready to explode and do some things. And so, you know, they're on my radar. I'm going to be watching from the sidelines, cheering them on and that sort of thing. Just good people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just love them and sweethearts. They actually, fun fact, okay? For those of you who went on the Thailand missions trip or are associated with that whole
type. Yeah, I got to go too.
You went, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Pastor Josh was a missionary in Thailand and knew Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
That we go over there with. Yeah,
very
so
cool.
Very neat, kind of fun fact. Yeah. And you know.
The connection to the house.
Yeah,
very cool.
So
well, we're glad we got to share you, Pastor. And we were happy to share you. As long as you come back, right?
There you go.
But when you were gone, Pastor Deborah ministered.
Oh,
it was great.
Beautiful.
And she kind of gave us the precursor to what our topic of conversation is today, which was the closing or the conclusion of this identifying and overcoming the battle of our flesh, right? And controlling our flesh, which was a great series.
Yeah.
So that, again, came to an end this past weekend. And so what I wanted to talk to you about was just some of your biggest takeaways. Obviously, you know, it was a 10-week, a 10-part series, or technically 11.
Technically 11,
Pastor Deborah.
10 or 11.
Yeah, so technically 11 weeks. We went through, where did we start? Because we ended, what are we, in mid-Romans 8?
8, yeah.
We
started in 6.
Okay, I was going to say, that was my guess, 6.
Because it started even before that with, should Christians sin?
Yes.
And when we answer that question,
absolutely not.
No, we should not, right? But then it goes into, after that, if we shouldn't sin, then what do we do with this that we're wrestling with, that we're struggling with? And, you know, one of the neatest things for me as a pastor is at the back door, people coming through saying, Pastor, this series has been great for me. You know, That kind of feedback helps me.
Yeah.
Because I want to know that I'm itching where scratching where people are itching, right? You know, absolutely. I want to make sure that I'm ministering to the people in such a way that they're getting it. Mm-hmm. And that type of feedback, when someone says God spoke to me, I love the series, great message, things like that. It's not just to build me up, because you know the devil does beat up ministers when we get off the platform. We feel like fools. What did I say? Yeah. I didn't say this, you know.
Does that make sense to anybody?
I should just give up and quit and go back into the business world or whatever,
I'm
you know.
I'm never doing that again.
Yeah. I mean, those are real thoughts that come at us, and they're obviously from the pit of hell, but the encouragement is good for the minister, but also when we hear God speaking to somebody, or I get it, you know, it encourages, okay, good.
Yeah.
We connected, we're doing our job. And I know that people are able to relate, able to understand and that sort of a thing. And so, you know, I got a lot of that good feedback, like loving the series, Pastor. This has been wonderful for me. And you know, a lot of good comments and feedback that helps me to know, like, okay, good, we're on the right track. Mm-hmm. Even the other thing, too, that, you know, when we do a long series like this, 10 or 11 parts, I'm concerned, like, are people losing interest? Yeah. Are they losing focus? Are they still connecting with this topic after so long?
Right.
Because really, I mean, I could have split it up into different things and made a different
called
series.
Called it something different.
Sure,
but
you know. Right. But really, I wanted to stay on this vein because looking at the entirety of the scripture, really this is what we're talking about, because there's chapter 6, which presents us with a lot of the theology, you know, and then you get into chapter 7, which presents us with the problem. Mm-hmm. But then chapter 8 gives us the solution, right? And in order to give that the time that it needs to be long. And so, you know, in our society right now, attention spans and commitment levels and all that kind of stuff is waning.
Right.
And I'm hoping as a pastor, like, are people going to stick with this? Are they going to get it? You know, and we're attacking the same thing from different angles and different sides. And so I want to make sure that we're getting it.
Yeah.
You know, and making sure that people know not only what to do, but how to do it. And that's where these last 2 weeks have been the most important part of the series, you know.
Well, and I was going to say, I think it landed so well. And that's the cool thing about even, you know, we've talked about, and I think you teach every week, and you make sure that it's clear, hey, we've been in this X amount of number part series.
Yeah.
But they all stand alone, and they all do. I mean, if you only heard that message, you're going to be able to get something. You see the scriptures. But like you share every week, this wasn't written in, you know, like when we read
chapter
a book
verse.
Now, this a thought kind of starts and concludes in a chapter, right? That's in our chapter books, that's what you can expect. Oh, the great place to stop. But it originally was written without some of those things. And so, or without any of those things with the verse and chapters. So it's this thought that we just get to take chunks out of, and that I thought just was done very well. And I, that's why to even make the point to talk about the close of the series and then some of our takeaways to, hey, this controlling part and some of the visuals. And I want to encourage everybody to listen, go watch on YouTube, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Because I love some of the practical analogies that were just so easy to use from, you know, you did the coat. To really, and maybe break down, one of the things that you use all throughout the series was the visual of the soul, mind, and body, right?
Yeah.
Or the flesh.
Spirit.
So the spirit, mind, and I'm probably.
And body. Got it. And then there's interchangeable words. Yeah. Obviously, flesh, carnality, body are used interchangeably. The soul and the mind are used interchangeably, right? But then the spirit is the spirit. And
I've never forgotten that word, enmity. From that we get from this series, because it's like that war, that battle that we've seen.
Opposition.
And when it lays it out so well. And again, if maybe we can explain it in a way that if someone doesn't go back and watch it, so even in this conversation, they can get some of that takeaway.
Well, you know, the brief overview is that we're three part beings made in the image of God.
Yeah.
We see that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we don't understand that, the easiest way to look at it is by looking at ourselves.
Yeah.
We are a spirit that has a soul who lives in a body.
That's good.
And that's the basic
time.
Quick.
We are a spirit that has a soul
that lives in a body.
Perfect.
So the real you is the you on the inside of you that if you died would live on eternally. Mm-hmm. That's the spirit portion of you. When God created man, he knelt down in the dirt, formed the body, but it wasn't alive until God breathed the breath of God. Now we know that in the New Testament it says all scripture is God breathed. Mm-hmm. The word of God is spirit. Mm. It says that in John's gospel too. Yeah. Your word is spirit and it's life. So when God breathed, the Hebrew word's ruach, it's the breath of God, right? Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit, my ruach. and he breathed his last. And so here, God breathes the breath of God, which creates man and makes him a living being, right? That's the real us,
yeah.
Is the what God made us by his word, by his breath. But we have a mind, we have a will, we have emotions, thoughts, desires, passions, lusts, things that we think about. Mm-hmm. And we live in this earth, this tent of this body that we will shed someday. Yeah. Either we'll die and it'll be buried in the ground, and when we resurrect, we'll get a new body. Or when Jesus comes, we'll be changed. We may not die, but we will all be changed, the Bible says. Yeah. So we'll get a new resurrection body, which is phenomenal.
Amen.
Right?
More aches and pains. And
I always say mine's going to have abs because, no matter how much I work on it, it just doesn't seem to show up. So
abs it is.
Abs it is. I know some people want hair. Yeah, I got enough of that here, you know, so I don't mind being bald with abs, you know. I'll be that guy.
Yeah.
But when we describe that, though, it helps us because we need to understand that the sin nature is resident within us. Mm-hmm. And that's where carnality, the flesh, that's what it's likened to. Even though this body is just ashes to ashes, dust to dust, it's going to go back to the ground that it came from. When we die, the worms will eat it. It'll disintegrate, all that kind of stuff, right? And by the way, this is probably a question that people have. You know, is it okay to be buried or is it okay to be cremated?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The Bible says that death and hell, the grave, and even the sea will give up the dead that are in it. Think about somebody that got put into the ocean, right? Even if fish didn't need them, which they might, right? But if your body is being swirled around in this salt water for decades and rolled around with rocks and sand and all that kind of stuff, eventually you're not going to be anything, right?
Right? Yeah.
And so if the waters, the seas, will give up the dead that are in them, then does it matter what happens to the body? And what about people that die in a car crash accidentally and they're burned? Are they going to hell because they weren't buried in a formal grave? It just doesn't make sense in that term. So this body is just a fleshly body, but within us is this fleshly mindset that we battle, this carnality, really. Mm-hmm. And it's a mindset of the body, of the flesh, of the desires that go on. And that's where the mind is so important, because if the mind links up with that fleshly mindset, we're going to end up doing the things that are contrary to the ways of God, which will bring us to sin, which leads to death.
Yeah.
But if our mind can get on the things of the Spirit, and we, by the Spirit, control the body, and we present our members as instruments of righteousness, now we can operate in righteousness, which leads us to life, a God connection. Death is separation. Therefore, sin separates us from the life of God. Mm-hmm. But righteousness and doing God's will, God's way, it leads to life, which is a God connection.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole point of the whole series, is that get your mind on the things of the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you'll have a God connection.
And so week by week, you were going through the passage in Romans, but kind of having the same takeaway. You were kind of each week chipping at the same concept of how we're controlling our flesh. Because it presents itself, and that's the way the scripture was written. Mm-hmm. It presents itself in the various ways that the flesh might arise, the questions that we might have, how we deal with different ways. So did you have a favorite set of scriptures that you tackled? Were you like, I mean, again, I know that, you know, you're preaching it all, but was there, or in other words, what are the maybe some of the more memorable either messages or illustrations? Because you use a lot of.
I think, as far as the scriptures, I was dying to get to chapter 8.
Yeah.
But I knew I needed to go through what we were in 6 and 7 to get there. But yes, I mean, absolutely, these past 2 weeks, if I was told, hey, choose one week, it'd be one of these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I just had so much fun with them. The illustrations of them were great. I was sitting on that kangaroo illustration for months. Literally months, you know. I heard it and I was like, "That's awesome!" Yeah. And then I had to figure out where it landed, and then I was like, "Oh,
that's so
at the
cool.
end," you know. So I've been sitting on it for all this time,
right?
But you know, if you said things that are memorable within this series, we talked about the illustration of marriage. Mm-hmm. I never would have guessed that the illustration of marriage would speak to controlling the flesh.
Yeah.
Like if you ask me, does it have much to say? I said, well, you know, other than the fact that you have to die to yourself when you get married, you know?
Yeah.
But that would have been my basic answer. But after studying that message out and realizing and recognizing what marriage means, what example is given, and then again, the feedback, I had so many people come to me and say, "Pastor, that was profound." Mm-hmm. Not only did that help me to control the flesh, that's helping me in my marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a marriage seminar for me, you know, like all packed into one weekend of a message that just really, really got me focused in some areas, got opened up some things to me. And I'd never seen it that way. And honestly, I had never seen it that way until studying it out in the context of the greater picture. What are we talking about in Romans 6 and 7?
Yeah.
You know? So all that put together, you talk about memorable. That message for me was probably the most memorable because it was surprising. It was like, hey, this doesn't belong in this series, but oh my gosh, it was one of the best illustrations and really was probably the hardest hitting in terms of, whoa, you know, like I need to get a hold of this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the things that I really remember, you know, as going into it. I know early on in the series, I reached a lot back into what Pastor Jim had taught because he taught this series over the years. I've got his original notes from Romans.
Yeah.
Like probably old. If you've been around the Rock for any period of time, people have this language about the buildings.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was the Econo Lodge where we started. Then there was the Peach Building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the Teal Building. Yeah. And then eventually this building, right? So four locations, really. But this probably, the Romans was either the Peach Building or the Teal Building.
Oh, wow. So it goes back.
Way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, way back.
But when did we talk about, because even the image that the three parts, we did a series of that in this building.
He did two in this building.
Okay.
He did one called How to Control the Flesh, which I call Controlling the Flesh.
Yes,
so his was how to, because he always said, I'm the how-to pastor.
That's right, that's
you know?
Right.
So he had How to Control the Flesh, which he took from Galatians and Romans.
Okay, yes.
You know, and worked those two together.
I remember that.
But then when we did a series on Galatians early in this building from the early 2000s, I don't know if you remember this, it was the Book of Realignment.
I remember the gears on the side of Galatia. Yep. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
So that was before we had LED screens, and it was just printed papers.
I remember that. It would go in the arches.
Yeah, in the arches. And so it was Galatians, the Book of Realignment with the gears. Mm-hmm. And so within that, he did a series in Galatians on, I think it's overcoming the flesh or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go back and look at it again. But
So
but that basis of that scripture was Galatians 5 instead of Romans. But he still went to the Roman scriptures.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like day one, he went to Romans 8.
Yes, right. Yeah, because
I mean, out the
that,
gate.
Yeah, I remember him using that. And again, that's where I remember enmity. And I could even hear the way he would say enmity.
The enmity.
You know, they cannot coincide. And I think that's the big takeaway that, again, we can keep, and those will be memorable. And that's the life-changing part of this, Pastor, is it's the magnet idea, right? That you know, you get on the wrong side of the magnet, you can push them together, they just won't go.
Right.
So our flesh and our spirit or our soul man is, when it goes with that wrong unctions, it might feel right, but you know, it's kind of like you can force them, but they won't stick on their own.
Right.
Right, and that's kind of what it is. We're not made to operate in that. So those are the really cool parts that I know I appreciate and help shape the way that I'll live my life. Mm-hmm. Because, man, sin is fleeting. And I don't think we ever overlook that. In the series, I feel like there were several times where he's like, hey, this, it'll present itself as the right way.
Oh, for sure.
And then this last week you said something so profound was, we don't owe our flesh anything.
Mm.
And the reason why that's such a big takeaway,
it's
because we're not debtors to it, but sin will come calling back, right? Like, hey, remember the good time we had? Remember this? And it's like, oh, wait, but it's kind of like you go too far, you know, and you think of, you know, I remember when I was 18, Casino Morongo was 18 and over back then.
Man.
So as senior, you know, as freshman year of college, we would always, not always, sometimes find ourselves at Morongo. And like gambling does that. It teases you to think you're going to win enough to keep going. But what do they say? The house always wins, right?
Absolutely.
And the flesh always takes more. What was the quote that you said?
So it's a famous quote. I don't think it's attributed to anybody, but it's that sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want
to
stay.
And that's exactly it. It gives you enough taste. And if you talk to people who have been addicts, they're always chasing that first high.
Oh, yeah.
They're chasing that first high, and it's never enough. I've heard that same analogy with people that are desire money. Mm-hmm. You know, you chase that first big month, that first big contract, that first big sale. And if you make the sale, the money, the drug, anything in place of God, it's going to become that idol, and you'll just never quite, it'll never satisfy it.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we have to control our flesh, because we put it in its proper place.
Mm-hmm.
And things are fun, right? But they shouldn't have us.
That's right. You know, and that across the board, no matter what the sin is, whether it's food, whether it's sex, whether it's pornography, lying. I mean, there are people who lie and they don't even know why, you know, people who That's enter right. into the same sin and they don't even know why they're doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just become a part of who they are. Their mind frame is on the flesh, and it's a fleshly mind frame. You know, my heart breaks when I hear the stories of people, because especially as pastors, but as believers, as Christians, we want the best for people.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see people succeed. We want to see people overcome the challenges that they face.
Yeah.
And so when you hear of somebody that, hey, they've got, you know, finally got a breakthrough and finally have things going for them, finally got things going good, and then when they go back to those things, it's so disheartening, because it's like, man, you had what you needed. You had everything available to you, and yet you chose. You know, and this is where anybody, well, I didn't, you know, the devil made me do it, or I couldn't help it. No, you could.
Yeah.
You had all the help available to you. You have the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You can overcome. And so you have to put off the old man, put on the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. In fact, it's funny, because I still remember, you talk about going flashbacks.
Yeah.
I remember Pastor Jim with a sport coat.
Oh, yeah.
He would, you know, he's so big. The guy was huge, you know, 6'3".
Yeah.
And he had shrunk 2 inches, you know. So. But he would take that coat and he would put off and he would kind of throw it around the front.
Yes.
And then he would wrap it around.
Yeah.
Put on the new man. So I had thought about doing that with one coat, but then I was like, you know what? Two coats makes sense. You know, so I did change some things, but I did have, you know, the Pastor Jim in my mind.
Inspired by, that's right.
Of course, yeah. It's for a new generation.
So what would you tell as a takeaway, Pastor? What would you tell someone who's found themselves there, where they're making a decision to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
And they're giving it a go, and they're finding themselves victorious in some areas, but then there's just some parts of their flesh that, you know, hey, maybe it's pornography, or maybe it's different addictions, where they get 2-3 weeks in and then fall off, and 2-3 weeks in and fall off, and they continue to find themselves where that flesh just rears its ugly head. What would be the guidance there?
Yeah, I would encourage you to, number one, is that you got to get the spiritual mindset. You got to be in your word, be in prayer. These are the simple ways to get into the Spirit, is to declare the Scriptures over yourself daily, to pray daily, you know, to pray in the Spirit, you know. Those are simple ways to get into the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then to fight from that. I mean, you talked about fighting to keep that mindset last time, you know, in the part number 9 or 10, however you're counting, but second to last message we did was to fight from that mindset, to stay in that. It's going to be a battle. And that's where the other part of advice that I was given is to be patient with yourself. I didn't overcome the things that I struggled with, you know, pride, pornography, anger issues, and you know, judgments that I had of other people and things like that. It didn't happen overnight. There was only one thing that I can pinpoint that happened, and that is that before Christ, I cussed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I got saved, God cleaned up my mouth.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I mean, I understand deliverance. When somebody says, man, I got delivered and it's not an issue anymore, I get that, because I've experienced the power of God in that area of something so unique of my language, right?
Yeah.
However, the other things I had to struggle with, you know, and I say be patient with yourself, because it takes time to die on the cross.
Yeah.
It takes time to crucify the flesh.
Well, can I share, you know, one of the biggest characteristics of God that I've had trouble myself accepting and therefore receiving was that he's long-suffering.
Ugh.
And the reason why that's hard to allow God to be is because I myself am not long-suffering or patient.
Yeah, so,
it's hard.
Like,
to, yeah, it's like I can't.
Attitude, yeah.
I can't picture a patient God when I am so far from it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I want things now. I want things done quickly. When someone does me wrong, I want to cut them off.
Sure.
I want to protect myself. So it can be hard to imagine a God that is genuinely long suffering.
Yeah.
So when I mess up, I'm assuming God has the same standards that I have. So I'm not. And so that's why I think it's such a powerful thing to say, be patient with yourself more than what you can handle, because it's God and he himself describes.
And that's
as
not to wink
suffering.
At sin. It's not to
no,
say that you're
no,
okay
no.
in what you're doing, or to
right.
to approve.
And that can
of
be a fine
doing.
Line, I know.
Yes.
And that's why we don't really.
However, understand. I mean, there's some great scriptures that affirm what we're saying, in the sense of, like, we all stumble in many things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's not one righteous. Right. No, not one. As long as we're in the flesh, yeah, we're going to have a battle.
It's a fruit of the spirit, Pastor. I mean,
yeah. I mean, there's things that we have to struggle and have to work towards. Mm-hmm. So be patient with yourself. And the second thing with that goes along with that is play the long game.
Yes.
You know, if you're playing the long game, you may have a setback, but you don't mind, because guess what? I'm going to get better.
That's right. That's
right. Good. Or hey, okay, now I know the flesh has moved, or I know the devil's hand.
Yeah.
Now I can take the proper stance
to
resist the devil, mm-hmm, and he'll flee,
yeah,
to submit the flesh to the power of the Holy Spirit, yeah, and put it under, mm-hmm, to crucify it, and then to present it as members of righteousness, to now where I can present myself a living sacrifice,
yeah,
you know, holy.
Yeah.
My body can actually be used for holy purposes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the instruments as instruments of righteousness, no longer perversion or, you know, anger or wrath. Now I'm an instrument of righteousness. Right. His body is used for the goodness of God. When you play the long game, mm-hmm, you're not looking at temporary setbacks. Yes, I messed up. Repent. Mm-hmm. Confess it to God.
Yeah.
Make amends. Do what you need to do. Right. Mm-hmm. Put the protocols in place that you need in order to stay pure and stay holy and stay away from that sin, you know. But if you're looking at long term, I'm growing.
Yes.
I'm getting through this. Mm-hmm. I may never get over it, but I will get through it, right?
Yeah, that's good.
And so there may be things that I battle with, and it may not be that I'm, you know, sometimes people have this mentality, their confession, you know, and we always think about like AA meetings. I'm an alcoholic, right? You don't have to confess that you are that thing. You're not. You've been delivered. Yeah. You're a saint of Almighty God. You are not an alcoholic any longer. However, will you battle with thoughts? Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe things that you battle with, or praise the Lord, he delivers us, mm-hmm, you know, to where you can say, I've been delivered of that and I'm not going back to it, you know, but that may be something that over the long haul, that it starts with abstaining from drinking. It might start with, I'm not going into the bar anymore. It might start with emptying the bottles at your house. It might start with, you know, having accountability and going to AA meetings or to breaking free or to some sort of place where you can learn and grow in that area. But over time, when you look at the long game, I'm not always going to be an alcoholic. I will be delivered of that. Amen. I'll be healed of that. Now, will the devil present things to me? For sure he will. He's going to try and get you back.
Yeah.
But that's where, if you're playing the long game, no, I submit to God. I resist the devil, and the devil will flee, right?
So good. Yeah. That's great, Pastor. I appreciate it. I think that's, you know, as we kind of land the plane on the episode today, we've taken this big chunk of 11 weeks, and again, I encourage you, even if it's week by week, and here's some of these clips of the messages, I think we'll all walk away a little bit stronger in knowing that we might have defeats in battles, mm-hmm, but the long game and the long run of this thing, we're going to walk, we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, we're growing.
Yeah, we're going to grow. We're going to, you know, because we've all fallen short, but man, God is so good, and we see it right in his scripture. And again, that's the beauty of the line upon line. This is not, you didn't make this up. This isn't feel good. This isn't new age ideas and meditation. This is right out of the word of God, and it encourages us and strengthens us. So man, I know I was really blessed. Thank you, Pastor, and to Pastor Deborah for contributing to this beautiful series. And so what do we got next?
Oh, man. Well, we're going to take a break for Christmas and then get into some stuff for the new year. And then in Romans, we are going to be looking at, especially starting with, we've already covered some of the verses, so I might actually mention some of the highlights of those verses, because we talked about if anyone has Christ in him, they're his. Mm-hmm. If they don't have the Spirit of God, then they're not his. You know, so there's some things about the Spirit in there. But really, I think it was almost like a launching pad of controlling the flesh to get into walking the Spirit. And now let me introduce you to who the Spirit is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because verse 14 explodes and I mean, just launches us into life in the Spirit.
Yeah, so
and then
cool.
into, I mean, 16, I'm just amazing, amazing stuff. So we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit
good.
In the new year.
Very cool.
And then, you know, we're off to the races. There's some... I don't know if we'll hit it next year or not, but chapter 9, when we start getting into that, start talking about Israel and some hot button topics, especially when we get to verse 11 or chapter 11.
Yeah.
Chapter 9 and 11 really talk about the nation of Israel and what God's plan is for them through the ages.
Yeah.
And then even things like predestination and stuff like that. We'll get into some of those theological thoughts that, you know, people
it's
smarter than me.
Word. It's all in his word.
Know that's a lot more about. Yeah.
No, that's
but
very
cool,
Pastor.
Good stuff.
Awesome. And then I know, beginning of the year, we have a fast. Maybe we'll take an episode to talk about that and really believing for amazing things.
Beautiful.
So, man, stick with us all the way through the season. I remember last year we had the fireplace. We got to bring that back. So anyways, God bless you guys. We love you. Again, like, share, subscribe, comment. We'll see you soon. God bless you.